series called There Is Grace for Your Place. How many know that every one of us in the body of Christ, we have a place, right? What do I mean by that? What does it mean to have grace for your place? God didn't, He didn't put you, and we talked about this last week a little bit, He didn't put you in the earth and say, just figure it out. How many manufacturers do that? We used this illustration last week. They don't like gather a bunch of wires and components and parts and just ship it to you and say, make it whatever you want it to be. Just figure it out. But how many people live their life in this earth thinking that they just got to figure things out? Now, I don't know how many of you are aware of the tagline on our church. It's the Difference Church. That's the name of the church, right? We say impacting lives with purpose and passion. And what do we really mean by that? We really want to help people to live their purpose, walk in your purpose with a passion for God. Yes. And let's do it passionately. Hey, how many times have we heard it said, if it's worth doing, it's worth giving it everything we've got. On, right? You don't want to do things half-heartedly, right? And so we're talking about this concept, this subject of there is grace for your place. In other words, God wires us and graces us. One of the definitions we use for grace, a lot of people like to say, well, you know, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Yes, and, right? And some people like to say, well, it's unmerited favor, unearned favor. Yes, absolutely, but so much more. And so this other definition that we began to use last week was divine, what's the word I used? Divine impartation, right? I forgot what it says. Let me see what it says. All right, I got to get this in. Divine influence, that's the word I'm looking for. It's a divine influence. In other words, God's grace is not just there to get you, to help you be saved, but it's an impartation. His grace comes. There's a grace towards us to get saved, but then there is a grace He puts in us, a divine influence in us to help us to walk in our purpose. Yeah. See? And I said it this way, you know, and this would do good for us all to remember this. Our destinies, our purpose is not for us to decide, but it's for us to discover. Because when God birthed you into this earth, when He put life into you in your mother's womb and He birthed you even before you were born into the world, when you were conceived, God put purpose in you. There was purpose in that embryo. Yeah. Yeah? Right? There was purpose in that embryo. There was divine influence. In other words, God saying, okay, I'm birthing this person into the earth and here's their purpose. So many people get frustrated because why am I here? What is going on? But what happens, then we see somebody else doing something. We're like, that looks cool. I think I'll try and do that. Well, no, now what you're doing, you're trying to live somebody else's grace. Maybe God didn't grace you to do that. I've done it. I've been there. I've tried to be other preachers. When I first started, man, I watched preachers on TV, and I thought, ooh, I want to be like T.D. Jakes. And I came out on a Sunday, and I tried to do the get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. And it didn't fly, man. It was just like, it was like fell flat. Why? Because I was trying to be in somebody else's grace. Finally, the day came when I'm like, you know what? I'm like that Dove commercial. I am comfortable in my own skin. Right? I am comfortable. In fact, I am more comfortable being Ken Willis than I am trying to be anybody else. Right? And why? Because this is who God graced me to be. For me to try to do what somebody else is doing simply for the sake and cause that they're doing it, that's not me being in my grace. So I've got to stay in my vein, right? I mean, I remember for years, I just loved, and I'm a worshiper. I love to worship God. I am just a worshiper. That's who I am. I love worship, right? And for years, I mean, I just like, I wish I could be a worship leader, man. I want to be a worship leader. But I knew that I wasn't graced to lead worship. That don't mean I can't worship. This means I'm not graced to lead worship. If I began to lead worship, you would find out that I'm not graced, right? You may not, you would probably find that you don't enjoy my voice near as much as you enjoy Pastor Heather's voice. Amen. But this is what I did. I finally got to that place where it's like, you know what? Let me get in my grace. You know where I am most comfortable? In my grace. Doing what I'm called to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So we don't want to struggle trying to be somebody else or try to be, what they're doing is really cool, so I'm going to try to act like them. Well, that ain't, you're not, it's going to fall flat. It's going to fall flat, right? So there is a divine influence for what God has wired each and every one of us to do. And what we want to do is we want to help each and every one of you find your grace. What God wired you for. What God graced you to do. Because he doesn't just say, here's what you're to do. Here's the divine influence. Here's the divine grace part, right? He graces you to do it. And what is grace? Grace helps us to do, with God's help, what there's no way we could effectually do it without him. Now you may step out and try to do some things and you know and have a level of success, but it's not going to have kingdom success. God, everything that all of us are wired to do is wired to be used for the kingdom of God, to bring God glory and to bring people into the kingdom of God. Amen, amen, hallelujah. How many are glad that I'm not a doctor? Right, hallelujah. Well, let's just look at this real quickly, I'm going to look at this verse that I looked at last week. We're just going to read it, and I'm going to give it to you, and then we're going to move forward. But it says here, did I pray yet? Okay, I don't think I did. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your grace today. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for this amazing group of people, Father God, that are here personally, here that may be watching online. Lord, we just thank you for your anointing today. We thank you, Father. We just come with our hearts open, receptive, and responsive, ready to take responsibility for the word that you have given us, Lord. And we are so thankful for your word today. We are so thankful for the Word of God. And so, Father, we bless you. We love you. We thank you so much, Father God, that because we're here, Father God, you are here to meet with us. And I thank you, Lord, that you just help people to have just a divine connection with you today. And, Lord, I thank you for your anointing upon these lips of clay. Help me to speak your Word uncompromised, unhindered by any outside force, but it would land on each and every heart, custom fit just as you have designed it for them. We love you, Lord. We bless you, and we thank you for your grace today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. You know, there's this verse that calls the grace of God the manifold grace of God. Any mechanics in here, you know what a manifold is, or maybe there's other industries that deals with manifolds. A manifold is like something flows into it, but then once it goes into it, it can flow out in different places, right? And that's what the manifold grace, why do we need a manifold grace of God? Well, the manifold grace of God is to flow into us, and it's gonna have flow one way with Heather. It's gonna flow another way with Brent. It's gonna flow another way with John. It's gonna flow another way with Kyle and Heather. It's gonna flow a different way with me, right? Because God didn't call us all to do the same thing. God didn't call us all to do the same thing. It's not like, oh, I'm a Christian, I've got to be a preacher. Did you know that there is so much more work and ministry that is done for God outside of the pulpit than there is in it? Now, I have a role. This is my job. This is what God's calling. This is what I'm wired to do, and man, I love it. I can't. People say, well, if you weren't doing this, what else would you do? That is a hard thing for me to answer. I have no idea. Well, don't you like anything else besides this? There's things that I tinker with and like, but there's nothing that I can't even imagine doing anything else. I think this way. Ask Heather, man. It's like we try to take a day off and we end up talking about ministry. Right? Because pastoring is not what I do. It's who I am, because that's what I'm wired to do, and I love it. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's look at this verse here in John. Excuse me, not John. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 10, it says, "But now this is the Apostle Paul, and I'm not going to re-preach this whole, this is the only verse I used last week. You know, I walked up and I gave a short list of scriptures to Bill last week, and he goes, that's it? And I didn't even get past the first one. So I don't know how many he wants. I'm just kidding. All right, so here we go. No, he's surprised because usually I have a much longer list of scriptures that I give him than just two or three. But let's look at this. It says here, Paul says, but whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor. Other translations puts the word grace there. It is all because God poured out his special favor on me, or his grace, and not without results. See, when you live in your grace and you walk in your grace, by the way, the title of this message today is Walking in Your Grace. Walking in your grace. I want to emphasize your grace, because each one of us have a specific grace we're to walk in. And when we all walk in it, you're going to see in some other scriptures I'm going to share in just a little bit how that all comes together. You know, over in Ephesians, I will tell you this, and it's not one of the scriptures I was going to use. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, when every part does their share. When every part does their share, right? All right, so let's look at this. So here's Paul. He says, but whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor, or his grace, on me, and not without results, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Yet it was not. Now, that sounds like he's bragging, but he's not bragging. Well, he's bragging, but he's not bragging on himself. He said, whatever it is I am now, I am because God poured out his grace on me, and not without results. Why? Because I have worked harder than any of the other apostles. Now, the other apostles he's talking about is apostles that literally walked with Jesus in the earth. Paul didn't get that experience. We talked about that last week. You can go back and listen to that online. But he says, for I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I. See, he's not bragging on him now. He's not saying, yeah. See, this Christian faith wasn't really taken off until I showed up on the scene. So, you know, this is all because, you know, Paul, man, I am Paul. See, he wasn't doing that. He was saying, but yet not I, but God who was working through me. How? By his grace. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is going to get good. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you're wondering why I was just kind of looking at my time, how it was dwindling away. Okay. I was like, oh, Jesus, help me. All right. Here we go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, a lot of people think of as a spiritual gifts book, and it is, and it's a lot of wonderful things in there. But there's some other stuff in there, too. And this is going to be really good. Now, watch this. He says in verse 12, the human body has many parts. Would you agree? The human body has many parts. How many know the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made by Almighty God? Amen? And he says, for the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. Right? So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And then he says in verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? Can you just imagine that? It's like, I don't want to be an ear. You know? Can you imagine if we were, you know, all of our body parts says, I don't want to be intestines. I don't want to be a kidney. Nobody ever even sees me. I get no airtime whatsoever. So I don't want to be a kidney anymore. I don't want to be a pancreas. Everybody focuses on the eyes. I want to be an eye. Can you imagine? It's like we were just one big eye. Just a bunch of eyes floating around or whatever. Well, they wouldn't be able to walk because they would have no legs. Because the legs, they want to be eyes. Right? See, and that's what happens in the body of Christ. People, they see these glamorous spots. I remember a story about this guy. He was anointed for business, but he got saved in this church, and the church began to make him think that, well, man, you're a Christian. Man, you need to do ministry. You got some charisma about you. You need to do ministry. You need to be a pastor. So he began to study to be a pastor, and he tried being a pastor, and he was a horrible pastor. He was never happy. He didn't enjoy studying. He didn't even enjoy the speaking part, but that's what he was told he was supposed to be. See, he was hearing from people and not from God. They were trying to rewire him, right? Instead of allowing him. But he was anointed for business, right? But finally, one day, he just I can't stand this. I can't do this anymore. So he stopped being a pastor. And then he went into business. And he flourished. And he flourished. And he made money. Some people are anointed to make money. I said some people are anointed to make money. Some people are graced to make money. And what did he do, man? He made money, and he would underwrite missionary trips, and he would underwrite things the church was outreaches. He would underwrite things the church needed done, whatever. And it wasn't about, you know, what it was about was I'm anointed to make money, and I want to do everything I can to serve God with it. See, some people are anointed for that. Some people are anointed to lead. Some people are not. Some people are anointed to teach. Some people are not. And we'll read that we'll see that as we go through some of these scriptures. But he says here, well, but if the eye says, if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? So if everybody tried to do the same thing, then how would the other parts get done? See, there's different places and different graces. And each one of us have a grace to do something. Now, what I don't believe that there's anybody on the earth that don't have a grace to do anything. I believe that the Bible says that God has graced everyone. He wired everyone to do something. He has graced everyone to be a part. Aren't you glad that there are not parts? See, I honestly have the strong belief that every part of my body, seen and unseen, I value it as very important. Amen? I mean, there's not a part of my body. I don't care if you can't even pronounce the name of the part. That does not devalue every part of my body. I thank God for my pancreas. I thank God for my kidneys. I thank God for my heart. I thank God for my intestines. I thank God for the parts that we don't even want to talk about. Right? Because every part has its place and grace to function. And in fact, I pray that over my body every day. I say, Father, I thank you for every part of my body. And as I pray this over my family and over our church, I say, Father, I thank you for our bodies, that they function in the perfection in which you created them to function. Because every part has a grace and a place to be. Amen? And it's the same with the body of Christ. We all have something that God has called us to do. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'll read this one to you, and then we'll jump to another couple, and then we'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 7, it says this, "But I wish everyone were single." Now, this is Paul talking, right? Now, Paul never married. He stayed single. He chose to stay single and just serve God and do ministry and that's okay, and that's okay, and it's also okay to be married. But he says this, "But I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Yet each person has a special gift or grace from God of one kind or another." Amen. See, really what my goal today is to help you to see a couple things. Number one, you have a grace. And number two, your grace is going to be different than somebody else's grace. What God's wired you to do is going to be different, either a little or a lot, than somebody else. And I don't have to live my life trying to find another grace to copy. I don't have to live my life paste and copy. Right? I don't have to find out what somebody else did, paste it, copy it into my life. I can go, wait a minute. No, I'm not a copy. I'm an original. And God made me an original. I am not the way I am by accident. God loves me. He created me. Now, let me qualify that statement. Because there is a you, and then there is a sanctified you. Okay? That doesn't mean that, okay, well, I'm foul-mouthed. That's just the way God made me. No, that's the unsanctified you. That's the part that God's still working on. Right? We want every person to, I want you to be you, but I want you to be the you that God created you to be. Amen. So let's just qualify that. Make sure you understand, you know, because I don't want nobody going out here telling their wife, see, God made me just an angry person. So I can't help myself when I'm violent. And no, that is the selfish, self-centered part of you. That is the unredeemed, unsanctified part. But God says, look, you can be angry, but sin not. You just got to direct your anger in the right direction, and towards your wife and your kids or your husband or your animals is not the place that God wants you to direct your anger. Okay, that's a completely different series. I thought I'd throw that out there. See how it landed. Okay. All right. But he says here, yet each person has a special gift from God, one kind or another. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Now here at the Difference Church, if you're new, we are a church that believes in one statement. Where's the scripture? So if you say, man, I've never been in a church that turns to this many scriptures, well, this is a light day. Amen. We tend to read a lot of scriptures because we believe in the Bible. And we believe in and I tell you what we need. And I'm not saying here just because John's here, but we need a revival of the Bible. We need a revival of the Bible. I've had ministers that I've heard that talk about, they travel around and they're amazed at how many churches they go into, and then they sit there and they minister. Well, they give a speech, but they never even mention any scriptures. And they don't use their Bibles, and they're just like stunned, like, what in the world is going on, right? Well, that's the problem. It's in the world, right? But listen, no, we need a revival of the Bible. We need to get back to, I mentioned it, I think it was last week I mentioned, there's nothing wrong with your digital version, but I would advise each one of you to find one of these. Because if all the towers went down and you have no digital, and that's your Bible, what are you going to read then, if you even read it, right? I love the, now I don't get me wrong, I have the U version on my phone, and I read from there from time to time. But I thank God that I've got a physical one, right? And it's highlighted, underlined, marked up, and I love it. I thank God for it. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at this real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, and starting in verse 4, it says, for there is one body, and you're going to notice as we read some of these things, you can see the language is the same in different parts of the Bible. Now watch this. He says, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one God, one God, one God, one God. Some people like to say, well, there are many gods in the world. No, there is only one God. Then there's a lot of imposters. There's a lot of fake, yeah. Right? Well, how can you say that about somebody else's religion? Because God, I can tell you why. Because listen, I love everybody from every other religion. I love them. Yeah. Right? But here's the deal. There's a scripture where God says, and he's the one that created it all. He says, I am the one true God, and here, you ready? And there is no other besides me. Well, if God says there is no, he knows everything. And if he says there is no other God, guess what? There is no other God, right? So we're not against the people of other religions, but there is only one true God. The Bible tells us this, there is only one way to God, right? And it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way. He didn't say I'm a way. He says, I am the way. I am the truth, not a truth. I am the life, not a life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one gets to the Father except through Jesus. He's the only way to get to the Father. Amen? All right. Anyway, so, but he says here, he goes on to say, that's not what I came to preach on. Okay, but the Holy Spirit wanted that said, apparently. But watch this. He says here, so verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. Verse 7, however, he has given each one of us, he has given each one of us a special gift. Now, I've got a little address there, and in the margin of my Bible, that special gift is the word grace, right? However, he has given each one of us grace through the generosity of Christ. So each one of us, no matter how old, how young, female, male, it does not matter, boy, girl, man, woman, we've all been given a special grace to function in this earth for God. Amen? All right. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, and I'll start landing this plane. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read that out of the New King James. Anybody getting anything out of this? I'm just trusting that this is helpful. Because and it's always frustrating for me to, it frustrates me to see how frustrated people are that they're not walking in their grace. But there is a grace for each and every person. God's wired us and called us to do something in specific. Oh, and by the way, let me mention this part. God never repents of his decision for what he wired you to do. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without the gifts, the grace gifts. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. What does that mean? God will never, ever in all of eternity go, man, you know what? I know you want to be an eye, and I called you to be a nose, but you know, but since you really want to be an eye bad enough, okay, we'll just let you be an eye. Never going to happen. Why is that never going to happen? Because God knows you're not wired that way, and you're only going to be frustrated trying to be something that God didn't wire you to do. If I try to take my cell phone, I'm like, you know what? I haven't been on my phone in a while, and that's not really the truth. I mean, everybody knows we're always on our phones, but, you know, I don't really need a phone right. I don't need to make a phone call right now. I don't need to send a text. I don't need to check my email. What I need, I'm in my garage. And I can't find my hammer. So what I really need is a hammer right now. Or a screwdriver. So I'm just going to, you know what? I got my cell phone. I'll just use it for a hammer. Or I'll try to screw in a screw or hammer a nail with it. How well do you think that's going to go? That nail's going to be laughing at my cell phone for the rest of the day. Because I'm going to hit it with my cell phone, my screen's going to shatter, and I'm not going to be able to use it anymore, but that nail's going to be sitting right there going, are you crazy? Right? But that's what happens when we try to do something that God hasn't wired us to do. Right? So my goal is to help you to find that grace, and we're going to be talking about that as we go, how to find your grace. And I'm going to mention one thing here in just a second that'll kind of help you get on that road. Right? All right. Okay, so let's look at this. So he says here in Romans 12:3, he says, for I say, through the grace given to me. So here's Paul telling us that what he's doing and what he's saying is because of the grace of God on his life again. He says, for I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. So does that mean we're not supposed to think highly of ourselves? But everybody says, oh, you know, you thank somebody for something they did, and they're just trying to deflect it. I understand giving God glory. Well, it was because of God's grace in my life. Oh, amen, hallelujah, I agree with that. Oh, man, it wasn't me. Wait a minute, then who was I talking to? Who did I see helping? When I think, oh, it wasn't me. You know, I used to do that as a preacher. You know, I would preach a message, and at the end, some people would come up to me and say, Pastor, man, that was such a good one. Oh, man, that was just the grace of God. And it was the grace of God. But that was also a good place for me to go, thank you. Right? Why? Because it was me that was allowing the grace of God to flow through me. But I will never, ever try to take the glory for it. Because I can't do what I do without the grace of God. I promise you that. This is the grace of God on display. All right? So here we go. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, that to everyone that is among you, not to think of themselves more highly of themselves than they ought to think. So he's not saying you shouldn't think highly of yourself. How many know God, he says we are the very workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's the one that created us and made us and wired us and anointed us and graced us and helps us. Right? He says, just don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. We should think highly of ourselves. I am the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Because I mean, some people's like, well, I just don't want him to get into pride. Well, here's the deal. Pride is not believing the truth. It is not pride to believe the truth about yourself. What pride is believing lies about yourself. You know, when you begin to think you're the bag of chips, I mean, you're all that, you got the t-shirt, I mean, you know, that's man, this right here, this message, I got to tell you guys, this is all me. Man, I mean, I just told God, I'll talk to you later, I got a message to preach, and man, I'm telling you, this is just me. That's a lie. That is pride. And that's why. Because then I'm believing that it's all me and none of him. And I promise you, I can't even stand here and breathe and tie my shoes and do right without his grace on my life. Amen? So pride, it is not pride to think highly of yourself. It is pride to think more highly than you should. When you begin to think, you know, you are... When you begin to think your faith is bigger than it really is, when you're trying to convey to people around you that, man, I've got all this faith, but this is what I've discovered. The people who talk the loudest about how much faith they've got, they tend to be the biggest babies when things happen. Amen? It's quiet up in this place. What does that mean? Because some people, they like to project that they're more than they are. You know, instead of just being honest, and that one translation says, be honest in the estimation of yourself. As you evaluate yourself. I was at a conference here recently, and they made this statement that says, churches and businesses that do not evaluate themselves fail. A failing church is a church that does not evaluate itself. So it's, and you could say, a failing business is a business that just, it's so important to do evaluation. Right, step back, look, okay, how's things going? What can we improve? What's doing great? You know, all these kind of things. But it's so important to be honest in your estimation of where you're at. So it's not pride to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because you're not bragging about you, you're bragging about God and what he did for you. Amen? So pride is not believing the truth about yourself. We should believe the truth about ourselves. What does that mean? So if you have a low self-esteem of yourself, get in this book and find out what God says about you and begin to say what God says about you. That's not pride. That's truth. If God says I'm righteous, I'm righteous. I didn't say that I've never made a mistake. I said that by the grace of God, I've been forgiven and God has set my life on a right track and now I'm living according to his plan. I didn't say that I'm flawless. I said, by his grace, I'm able to do what I'm able to do. That doesn't mean I never make a mistake. It just means when I do, I go, oh, God, sorry, I missed it there. Forgive me. And the Bible says if anyone sins, that's the word sin simply means to miss the mark. Like if you're shooting, if you have a bow and arrow and you shoot and you're shooting for the target, but you're outside the rings, all you did was miss the mark. Right? Well, there's times we shoot for a target, but we miss the mark. But it's so simple to go, Father, forgive me, I missed the mark. I was trying to do the right thing, but I messed it up. I ask you to forgive me. And the Bible says when you do that, he is faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Well, if he forgives me from all unrighteousness, then what's left? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 that Jesus became sin so that I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So it's not wrong for me to look in the mirror every day and go, you are the righteousness of God. In fact, not only is it not wrong to do that, it's very empowering because it's renewing your mind to the fact that I'm the righteousness of God. And if you live with a mentality that you are the righteousness of God, you are a whole lot less likely to fall into sin because, no, righteous people don't act like that. Amen? All right. Let me read this and we'll be done. All right, because he goes on to say, For as many members as in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace given us. Differing according to the grace given to us, let us use them. See, it's so important that once you realize that you've been graced, that you begin to use the grace that God has put in your life. He says, if prophecy, let prophecy be done in proportion to our faith. Amen. Now, when I began to speak, I wasn't as fluent. I didn't stray near as far from this podium. I remember one guy talking. I don't think I ever did this, but I mean, I usually stayed like right here by my notes, you know. Kind of trying to hide behind a podium. I didn't have a real skinny one like this. It was something I could hide behind, but whatever. But there was one guy said that he would do this. He would put his finger on his notes. This is when he first started preaching. He'd put his finger on his notes and he'd walk to this side. And then when he wanted to go to the other side, he would come over here and he'd put that finger, same spot, because he was so afraid that he was going to lose his spot that he didn't dare take his finger off the spot. Well, what happened? Now, all these years later, now he's talking about, you think I wander. He has a much bigger church, and he's wandering all over the place. Half the time, he's not even on his notes. He's just being led by the Spirit. What happened? He's flowing in his grace according to the faith that is in him. Now, all these years, now there's been a confidence. He's confident that he's going to accurately hear from God on what to say, so he don't depend on his notes as much. Amen? So that's what it means when it says differing according to the grace that is given us, use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, right? Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. Exhortation is just encouraging people. You know, there's a lot of people that are just anointed to encourage people. And we just need to flow in our grace. Amen. He who gives with liberality, I talked a while ago about it, God has anointed some people just to make money and to be a blessing. He who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, right? Let me make a couple of statements and we'll be done. Here's number one, and this will mean something to you if you're a football fan, right? Stay in your lane. When they kick off in a football game, you notice how the guys are kind of like, they're kind of spread out across the field evenly. They have a job. Their job is not to cover the whole field. This guy is to cover this lane. That's why when they run, when they kick off, all these guys don't start scattering and running all over the place and running into each other and all this kind of stuff until they get to the opponent. They stay in their lane because if that guy runs this way, my job is to not go chase them. Because this is what happens. This is how these kickoff returns for touchdowns happen, is everybody begins to chase the ball and then the guy changes direction and runs around the other side and runs down the field and scores. What would have happened if this guy would have just stayed in his lane? And then when he got pushed back this way, he's here to get him. And see, that's what happens in the body of Christ. We get out of our lane, and then our lane is not covered, and then our task does not get done. What God's wired us to do does not get done because we're over trying to do somebody else's wiring. Isn't that good? Listen to this statement. This is kind of hard-hitting. It might be quiet. When you are out of your place, you are out of your grace. And you will fall on your face. When you are out of your place, you're out of your grace. Your place does not determine your grace. Your grace determines your place. See, God didn't say, okay, I'm just going to let them pick something, then I'll grace them to do it. He says, no, I wired them to be in a, to do a specific job, to have a certain wiring, to do a certain thing, a certain task, and my grace is there for them to do it. That's why Paul says, I am what I am by the, not because of what I do. I am what I am, and I do what I do because of the grace of God. Amen? All right. I'll share this, and I'm done. Some are grace, and I'm just going to list a few things just because this is what popped in my head. But I want you to see this. Some are grace to be planners. My wife is an amazing planner. I could not. I've tried planning. No, just plan. Honey, just where do you want to go? Let's go over here. Okay, you plan it, right? I'm not a great planner. You know, that's why I try to surround myself with planners, right? Some are anointed to be builders. Some are anointed to be plumbers. Brent is a plumber, has a wonderful plumbing company. Some are anointed to be encouragers. Some are anointed to be sound technicians. Some are anointed to be video technicians. I mean, all this right here, I had nothing to do with this other than, yeah, let's do it. Bill brought this idea to me, and I'm like, dude, that is awesome. Do it. Let's do it. And that was it. And while I'm in here a couple of weeks ago doing other, I'm hanging curtains. That's all they would allow me to do. Just, you have one job, he told me one day, get the curtains hung. Right? But he did all this and all the lighting. And Bruce does, and there's sound technicians, there are lighting technicians, there are teachers, there are different people, different graces for different places. And when we say, God, help me to find my grace and help me to get in my place, I will not fall on my face. Because his grace will be there to keep you up. Amen? Let me give you one way to recognize your place, and we'll talk more about this stuff later. One way to recognize your place is what others work, what others do seem to be, they have to work at it to do it. You know what I mean? It's. I'm not saying that there's not work involved. I'm just saying, you know what others do, and they make it look easy. It comes naturally for them. Or what others are trying to do, it seems like it's a lot of work and hard for them to figure out and whatever. But you're over here and you've just like, man, if I was doing that, I would do this. And it just comes naturally for you. Right? I'm going to stop there because, I mean, we could really dig into that. But I'm going to stop there just to give you a little teaser for next week maybe. But that's one way you can know what your kind of grace to do. People often ask me, how do you do what you do? I don't know. I just get up there and do it. Am I nervous when I get up here? The only thing I'm nervous about, I want to make sure I'm hearing from God and flowing with him. But I'm not nervous about doing what I do. Why? Because God's graced me to do it. Other people think, you say you make it look easy. Other, you know, then I'm like, I just do what I do. I don't know. I'd never even think about it. See, that's kind of one thing.